Hello.
Good morning. Well, what time is it there? I'm not sure what time it is there.
Yeah, it's after 4, but
After 4 p.m. Okay, good afternoon for you.
but yeah, I have to see how many people join today because it's vacation time in Germany. So
Oh, okay. Makes
yeah,
sense.
and Bent is sick, so yeah, I have to move some points from the
Okay.
agenda. So, okay, there's the next one. Hi, Heiko. No. Let's see. Share the screen. So. I think we should wait a minute to give the chance to join the meeting for the others. Yeah, but I created this agenda for each meeting, but you can also add points to the agenda if you have some. And yeah. I saw some things in the Slack channel, like this one, S3 object storage, and this one from Bernd. And so I added this to the agenda, but yeah, you can also do this by yourself. So. Heiko, do you know where are the others?
Hi, Stefan. No, I have no clue. Sorry.
Okay. Okay. Then I think we should start with the meeting and maybe the others join later. So, I updated the roadmap for e-usage, the core component of e-usage. There's also another additional component, e-usage reports, and we had a first kickoff meeting with Kassel in Germany, an institution, university library, I think, and an union institution of libraries that with the name HEPES in Germany, and there are plans to to take over the development together with a development team from Folio, and maybe we can talk more about this in the near future, and I'm hopefully so. And that are great news for this extension for usage because different institutions need this plug-in for agreements to get the calculations for the cost per use. And yeah, so I think they talked with the development team from Folio, and there is more a question of the contract, how much they have to pay for this development, and yeah, and a general question how the plugin could look like. Is it efficient, or could we improve the merging process in the background? And so they collect the requirements at the moment, and then they talk with the development team. So, okay, and now to the roadmap for usage. I saw the requirements that we have to solve the errors in usage, especially the handling of the counter API exceptions. So I'm moved this requirement as the top priority So, and that's what we are discussing, currently discussing. So, and now I think that's for all okay that we start with this point with the development. And after this, or at the same time, we can improve the overviews of the errors in the UI and also in the backend. In the backend, we have the possibility to create a feedback from the backend as a structured JSON. So if you create an API call to the backend, then you get a structured error message from usage, and then you know what's going on, and you can extract the codes what occurs and also the error message. So that's what I think it's a good plan for Umbrella Leaf and for the photo release fetch. Fetch, I think the release date is in the mid of next year, and Umbrella Leaf, the release is at the beginning of the next year. What I saw is also that we have to extract the different error messages from the backend to a new field. That is also what Bernd mentioned in Slack, in our Slack channel. I don't know if you read this in Slack. Did you read this?
I think I saw it, but I haven't taken a close look at it. Let me that real quick. So the we're talking about
In
how far back
usage,
is it?
in usage, you only have a field failed reason, which contains the entire error message from the API counter and counter API, and then it's very different between the counter releases. So for counter release 4, we have a different error message like than for version 5, and then we have also another error message for HTTP status codes, and that is mixed in one field. So, and the requirement is that we should extract these messages in a new field. I think it could be a field that contains subfields where you can find a code, then the message from the error, and then also this one, the subfield data, where you see also additional informations like in the error code 3030, where you see which time period is available at the provider. And I think that could help in the UI and also when you create API calls. For the UI, it could help because we can extract the data here if it's in a subfield, and then we can display this in the report info, and you have more information what was occurred with this error. So, but in my opinion, we should move this point to the next meeting. I have agreed with Bernd that we move this point. He's Unfortunately, he is sick and cannot attend today, and so we should discuss this with him together. And maybe he can talk more about this requirement, and maybe he has more ideas how the subfields could organize. Improvements to error overviews. That also means that we would like to improve the overview for harvester logs. When you go to a provider, then you have the option in the actions to see the harvester logs. And I have a screenshot for this in the issue, the ticket issue or so. And there should be two more columns so that you can see which errors occurs during the harvesting and what was the error message. And for this, we need the extraction of the error codes and the messages. Okay. Then, if you want, so let me know. We can also create in-app reports for e-usage. So if you have the requirement, then we can talk about this, and then we can integrate this as an action for the providers. And in Leipzig, we have some reports that show you the errors as a list of all providers, and it makes easier to analyze all the error codes that occurs in the harvesting process. So I'm not sure, Jason, you said in the last meeting you have so many errors.
Yeah, I talked to Bernd about that a little bit. We couldn't really figure it out. Let me see if I can go back to I guess he was able to if you have an invalid requester ID, he was able to replicate having some reports say give an error 2000 and some give the 1020 error. So I'm not sure. He said that it would be nice to have it as an improvement to be able to see the I think it, I'm not entirely sure. He said he reproduced it with an invalid requester ID, either exception 2000, or if he did multiple requests within a second, he'd get the exception 1020, but not both. So the information being in the data element that says new sushi credentials required, please log in and generate new credentials for 2000, and please request reports sequentially once per second for the 1020. So an improvement would be to, I guess, to include that information, showing it in Folio.
What we can do in usage is that we integrate features that solve this problem. So if the error code occurs, then we can implementing that the harvester stops, and then you get an information. It's like a badge or something in the provider that something is going wrong, and you have to check your credentials or any kind of this. And I see this features with fetch for your release fetch, or with, or I don't know what's the next release is, what stock or something other. Which is this? Woodland Star. Okay.
Okay.
So, yeah. D and with these features, we can, yeah, we can solve these errors before they creates a list of errors that you cannot handle manually. So because I run a report in our institutions, and we have more than 4,000 of errors in usage that are reports that not correct in the system. And now we have to look for a bulk process that solved these errors. And the most errors I saw are peaks. If you look here in this overview, we see that the program works very well. But then there are any kind of changes on the provider side or on the client side, and then you see we have peaks of errors, and you get thousands of errors. In the last year, we had a month in September, it was, we got more than 1,400 errors at one time, and usage should handle these errors before the harvesters save the data into the states table. So because you cannot manually click every report and solve the problem. So and what I also saw is that we have to validate some characters, because there are sometimes and from character at the beginning. Then we have the HTTP errors. Yeah, and then we have the most of them are 30-30 codes, and also the authorization issues like this one, credential errors, and what we have here, can look for 1020. Yeah, you see we have the same problem. Client has made too many requests, and yeah, we have to solve this problem here at the beginning and not at the end. So okay, let's take a look back to the agenda. So Jason, if you need, I can give you the API call that you can get a
Okay.
list.
Yeah.
It's this one here.
Where is that? Where do I find that?
I can give you this in the
Oh,
chat.
okay. You just put it in the chat. Okay.
So it looks for this field in JSON at API endpoint counter reports.
Like,
And
how do I? So this is a API call to the Folio API.
yes.
Okay. All
But you
right.
have also the possibility to get data directly from the
From
database.
MetaDB, right? Like that, I haven't, I've struggled with running some of those queries. They run really slow. But I don't really know why, 'cause like I've done the JSON extraction stuff from some of the other tables and I don't have the same problem. But when it comes to the counter reports, I don't know, but I'll try.
The problem is that the data is very nested, and
Yeah.
for counter release 4, you have sometimes a JSON object that has more than 20,000 lines. So, and if you extract all the data, it takes some time and it's very slow. Yeah. I
So the
run.
API might be better.
Yeah, it's better. And you have also, you can also filter out the error code, but you have to take the like operator for this because it's like a text. So you can look for, is there an expression for 10, 20? And then it extract only the JSONs that contains 10, 20.
So I can make API calls on our Folio instance for anything really, basically. Like so with the counter reports, I could pull counter stuff out that way.
If
Okay.
you have
I'll need to talk to our developer. We have a developer. I'll talk to him about that. He might be able to help me.
Yeah, if you have the permissions, then you can create API calls.
Okay, because that might be something useful just for usage reporting stuff outside of Folio. Anyway, okay.
Yeah, I also use the Python library Folio client, but I'm not entirely sure if it's ready for Eureka platform. So, but with OKB it works.
At the beginning of the meeting, you mentioned something about the updates to the usage reporting. Where was that actually? Because I was looking for that on the agenda here. Where was that?
It's unofficial, so
Oh, okay. So there's
yeah.
not much I can really see about that. So the issue, right, with that is that it doesn't work with 5.1, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So with anything that's moved to 5.1, it's pretty much useless at this point, right? Okay. That's what I thought. I might as well turn it off for now. Okay. All right. Well, I'll let you get back to your agenda. I don't want to derail.
Yeah, I can add the point and inform for the information that we have an discussion.
Okay.
I think it's a good idea that I create an new page how you can extract the data from usage.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That would be helpful.
Yeah, it's that's the point. So if you add the situation in the situation that you already have all these errors in your state tables, then it's a good idea to have a feature that you can repeat the failed server requests manually. So for
Yeah.
all. So
Yeah. I have a question about that. So when you rerun the harvester, if there's errors stored in a month, does it attempt to harvest those months again, or do you need to delete the error reports? Because sometimes I've noticed I have better luck if I delete them. If I go in and delete the reports for those months. And that's just
Okay.
something I've wondered. It's like, is it attempting to harvest those months again if there's an error stored in a particular month for a provider?
We can also provide both
Okay.
that you have the option to repeat the harvesting process, or you can delete all failed reports.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, then I
Yeah,
add
being able
this.
to delete, just saying, like, I want to delete failed reports. Instead of having to go in and select them,
Okay. Yeah, I think it's a feature that we can implement. So, and then we should integrate the features that prevent incorrect harvesting configurations and like the provider list with data from counter registry. It's a requirement that we discussed in one of the last meetings. Jason, we can take a short look on this here. It's this one. We plan to integrate a little database that contains the data from counter registry, where you can find the service URL and the name from the provider and some other data that you need for the harvesting configuration. And when you have downloaded this in the system, then you can use it when you're creating or editing the usage data provider. Then you have a new field provider lookup, and it opens and a search form where you can look for a provider, and it takes over the it transferred the data to the fields inside the form that you need for creating or editing this UDP. And yeah, and after this, you can edit the data if it's needed. So, but you get the actual the current service URL directly from the counter registry. So, and that makes more sense because the most problem was in the past that in usage, you only need the base URL and not the suffix like reports or 5, the release version or 5.1. And when you add this suffix to the base URL in usage, then you get errors like HTTP 404 and that's not good. So I think it's a good idea that we have this provider list, and then you only have to click in the list, and then you get all the data that you need for the form, and then you can save the data. And maybe we can combine this feature together with the check. If an error occurs, that the credentials are not correct, then we can combine this feature with the database for the provider list, and then we can see is there something different between the service URL that is entered for the UDP and what is entered in the counter registry.
Yeah, I like that idea of a provider list. Stefan, do you know approximately how many providers there are in total?
Ooh.
Just to get a number.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot, but I have, okay. I doesn't thought it such a lot. Okay.
About 700.
Wow. Okay. Thank you.
You can also see which countries are supported. And that's the point that we also want to check. That's also the reason why we change the order of some elements in the editing world. And it's more that you have an logical sequence how you enter the data. And then we also want to check during this process, are the login credentials are correct? It's an background process. And if the credentials are correct, in the next step, we check which report types are available and for which version. And so at the moment, you can only click, I need to release 5.1 and then the reports type TR and so on. And but you're not sure that the provider will provide this. And that's also an reason why the errors occur. And so we have to solve this with this new feature. And after the harvesting process, we also need this process that it's always checks, is it an correct data in the background?
I think also a thing that would be, for future development that I think would be really helpful would just be when you set up a provider to be able to run just a really short window kind of test, just like the counter validation tool, like you just run a validation report right then that kind of even can spit out of like a Excel file directly to you with the so that you can validate it, you can see the errors there, before you start trying to run it. Like if there's, I don't know, I know that Big Dig Data that does Zelus did a lot of work on the counter validation tool with burned that, right? Like they w were part of that. I think. I'm just wondering, like, because I've noticed even, because we have a trial for Celis right now, and it's one of the things I was wondering. Even I talked to Bernd about this, and I know that he mentioned kind of unofficially that that there might be some possibility to have Celis be usable as an aggregator, like the National Statistics Server is, right? I think that and the way that Celis works there is when you set up a provider, it does let you kind of do this like batch of initial harvest that's just for testing purposes, just to validate your credentials and everything.
That's a good point. I forgot to add this here in this roadmap because I'm not sure which status the project is. The National Statistics Server are plans to create an API which we can use in usage. So if you created some data sets in statistics server, the aggregator, then you can directly integrate this data on the fly in usage, and you don't have to add this manually. So it's an automatic process, but I'm not sure they have to prepare all the stuffs and I think they don't started with the project yet, so maybe in the next year. And Bernd talked to me that they will create a new standard how aggregators can integrate data in other systems via an API. So maybe later in usage, you can integrate also other aggregators than the National Statistics Server. I'm not sure. Do you have other aggregators?
Well, we're looking at Celis right now, which is, are you familiar with Celis at all? The commercially available product, but it was developed for who was it? The Czech National Library initially. But there's like a commercial company called Big Dig Data that kind of sells it as a commercial product. And it was initially like an open source project, but it would be something that I know it has an external API. So I was just it's a it had kind of a dawned on me that it might potentially be something that could be used as an aggregator in Folio if we had it to be able to create the providers and then it'd be able to connect to the agreement records and everything, but that's and I talked to Bernd a little bit about it. He said that he told me, let me see, what did he say about it? He said that Big Dig Data is re responsible for the counter registry and the new UI for the validator. And that they are a member of the counter code team, so they're going to be involved in the discussion, any discussion about a counter API extension for aggregator integration stuff. So since they're going to be part of that, he was saying that he assumes that most likely Celis would be an option. So, yeah.
The approach is that you have then a new setting item, and then you can, set up an harvester for aggregator data.
Yeah, and the idea was that like in the future, the aggregator would be able to create providers automatically within like provider in the within the list of the usage providers. So there'd be provider record for each platform or yeah, without you having to do that manually. So that I thought that could potentially be really good for us here at Lehigh, if we were to go with Celis.
And the development will be in Freiburg, the team from Bernd, but I'm not sure which status the project has, so.
Okay. I are you are you gonna be at are you gonna be at WolfCon? Probably not. Nobody's coming to nobody's coming here this year, right? Okay.
Unfortunately, I cannot
Yeah.
attend in person, so.
Yeah. Okay.
But
I was just wondering, with people from this group, if anybody had an interest in having some kind of discussion during WolfCon, even, on Zoom or something. Because I was going to try to track down people. My goal is to see if there's anyone at WolfCon who's like a US library that's not using eUSAGE but is interested in using eUSAGE. So I wanted to bring some other US libraries on board here. So but yeah.
We can also organize a meeting
Okay.
outside of the agenda from WolfCon.
Yeah, I'll get on Slack once I kind of figure that out.
It's more an light discussion, or it's a panel. I can also make office horrors if it's needed. So if some institution have questions about usage and wouldn't attend this meeting, so they can also contact me every time on Slack, and I will answer with a little delay, but I will answer.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
The next point, we added a new feature to Usage and also to Stripes. Stripes is a framework that you can use to create the UI in Folio. And we created a new Stripes component, Month Picker. And with this picker, you can select the months that you need for an input field, for a data input field. And you can look at this here. Great. You can see here in snapshot it's implemented. You see you can enter data like before, the months and year, but you can also use the months picker, and then you can select the year and the months, and it transferred the data to the field. So the question is, so in the back end, it has always the format year, months. So, and that's okay. And in the UI, we use the default value of the current language. So it's very different from country to country, which format that you use. So should we change the format to the backend format, or should we leave it to the current language that you use? I think it's a good example for Folio how you should handle different date formats. But I can also bring this app to a meeting from the product owners and ask them how we should handle this in Folio. But I would like to hear your opinions on this. Is it okay when we use the current language that you use in your browser, or should we use the backend format?
I don't really have a preference, so.
Yeah, me too, sorry.
Yeah, I go.
Slightly advantage for system language.
Okay. Backend format or from the browser?
Yeah, back end from it, but I'm not sure really.
Okay. Okay, I bring this up in the PO meeting, and then we see what is the decision of the group.
Yes.
Okay, Martina is not here today, and that means that we move these points. And then we should talk about approving the processing of COP error codes. And in the last meeting, we discussed how Usage should handle the code 3030. And we have implemented a new icon for the error code. 3030. And can see this in snapshot in the counter states table. And here we have a new icon with a circle in green. And it's not an arrow icon. But we talked about the counter for the attempts, and the decision was that we not have to do anything in this case, because if it's failed at the first time, then it should try it again and again if the maximum of attempts are there.
I like this icon. I do wonder maybe if there's a way to do a different, slightly different green or something though. Like the color could be maybe just slightly different, possibly. I'm just wondering because I think that, well, maybe not. It's probably fine. I was just thinking that there might be somebody might look at that and not quite get that there's no usage there, but they should probably be able to put that together. I think it works. I think if it, you know what, never mind. No, you don't, it doesn't need a different color. I think it works the way it is. No need to complicate it.
Okay. Yeah, you can search for the error. So it's like before, and it's just another icon.
Yeah, I like it.
And then we have the next ones. And I read the documentation and created an overview for you here, so that you have that we get more a timeline when which error occurs, and you can see the error code 3030 occurs during the time the count at the provider is. So, and the 3031 is for reports that not yet available but later, and the code 3032 is like 31, but it's the time before the provider starts to count in that time period. So, and the question is, we can also create a new icon for these error codes. Here you can see some options that we have. We can leave for 31 this explanation mark here, or we can create a new icon like a calendar or a clock, so that it's more clear that this report is not yet available, or you should change the harvesting configuration for the time period.
I like the new icons, but for example, the last one, if it is available at some other point. So I like the calendar sign, and it implements, okay, it's coming, but it is green, so it is available guaranteed. Or can it happen that after some time it's not available, still not available, and never will be? Because green indicates good, I think. So I'm not sure with this one, but I like the signs.
If we go over to traffic lights, we can also use a yellow icon.
Okay. So if it will be available, it In my opinion, it can be green. It's good. But do we know at this at that point?
Okay. Jason, do you have ideas for this?
Maybe if something is expected in the future, we go with yellow or something like that instead of green.
I'm not sure. In terms of consistency across apps, do we have yellow somewhere else? I can't remember.
Okay. Yeah, maybe not.
Yellow is a completely new color, I think.
Okay. Well, in that case, maybe. Yeah.
I'm not sure, but I like this green and red ones. With yellow, I'm not sure.
And for design, should we use the explanation mark again or this one, Jason?
I like the calendar.
Me too. For the sign, calendar is my favorite. So if I see the calendar, my brain says, oh, okay, it's coming sometimes. Okay, it's nice. It's some kind of talking.
And for 32, we are using this one, and we can also change the icon, but I would say it's the same issue, and we should use sign calendar, but the color should different. Maybe red, because it's
It's not yet there, yes.
it's before the provider starts with the county. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think red. And that, I'm not sure. I mean, maybe I'm not sure if it should be calendar or the clock for that one, but.
And the counter in the background. It's another question. So if we go to the issue. Current behavior is that the harvester detects the error codes, and after the set limit, it will ends to. Oh, it's very loud here in the back. So okay. Yeah, if the harvester go over the limit, then it stops, and maybe we can also leave this here, and we don't have to change anything here. It's the same issue like with 3030. Because it's not sure if you create a time period in your configuration and it fails, and after that you reconfigure your time period, then it should try to get the data again. And if it's not possible to get the data from the provider, then you can also delete this report. Or should we change the behavior of the backend? It's more a question for you. For me, it's okay that we don't change anything here, how the backend handled these codes. It's an okay from Heiko. Jason, it's okay for you. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Then we only change the icons here in this case. So. And 10:20. So I will talk with our backend developer. He's back in the mid of September, and when we extract the error codes, then we can also solve this problem. And then I think the best behavior is that the harvester will not try again to get the data from the provider and stops the harvesting process, and then you get an error message in the detail view of a provider, and you can also filter out these messages in the search form. And yeah. I think it's more a question that you have a new filter in the search, in the integrated search here at the left side, that you have a checkbox. You can say okay, or a new error field here in this list. You can filter out all the data records from a usage data provider where you have problems with the credentials, and you have to change the settings. But we cannot integrate this feature with Trillium because the feature freeze is in mid-September. And so I think it's more a feature for Umbrella Leaf. And the new icons, I can talk with our UI developer. So maybe they have time to integrate the new icons for 31 and 32. But if there is no time, then it's also for Umbrella Leaf.
Okay, it's not a heart surgery, I think.
Okay, do you have other points for today or questions or annotations? Is it a good format for you here, this group, or should we change something? Should we add a discussion point?
It's good.
Yeah.
No, everything's fine. I think today we were three people. That's not much, but if Bernd comes next time, then it's fine. Everything's good.
Okay. Yeah, we can also integrate workshopping to the agenda so that if you have questions with your data in usage, then we can also talk directly about these problems. So maybe we can find the solution together so that you're not alone with the problems. Is it, I think it's a good idea, or?
Yeah.
Okay, then we should look when we should meet again. Oof. This is the Wolfgang week. Maybe the Monday after Wolfgang.
That's September
So,
29th.
yes.
That works for me.
I think I have another appointment, but okay.
Yeah, it's vacation time in Germany, so we should move this at the latest point that we can. So, and after the WolfCon, I hope they have time again in Germany. So, yeah. Okay, I think that's all for today. And if you have questions, then write to me via Slack, and then we can also make a one-to-one discussion. And if you have problems in your own system, we can also make a separate meeting, and then we can look together at these problems. Okay, thank
All right.
you.
Thank
Thank
you.
you. And bye.
Bye-bye.